Nice Springfield day. The Lakeland Sports Guys coming to you from Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. Good day to you. I'm Tom Carroll, Chris Cox. We've got the coach, Dan Spivey. And joining us today, we've got none other than Coach Scruggs is in the house as well. So we'll get his opinions on a few things to go along with all that. Chris, happy National Pi Day to you.
Love it, man. 3.14, brother. 3.14. So don't tell me Green, we didn't give me nothing as an education. That's Pi Day. I don't see none in the room, but anyway, they did put a cooler here for me, so that's Pi Day for me.
We'll have to go up and see what pies Howard's got up front as of right now.
Howard gave me my pies right here in the former Ultras. But anyway, man, it's a beautiful day outside. That pollen's starting to hit. Coach is over there kind of doing like me, sniffling. Stan's over here. But like you said, it's just a beautiful day, great day to talk sports. A lot to talk about. We're not going to talk about George yet because you're too excited Monday when you lit me up about Coach Amanda Butler. And
I was dancing.
You know, Coach, you never got me my check, so I can't say I'm sad that you're gone. But anyway, yeah. And we were going to work off something off of that too. I'm going to work on something on that for the future. But John Mark, man, welcome in.
Thank
Sound
you.
The horn, brother. Sound the horn.
I can't do it. I'm terrible at it. I tried it a couple times. It doesn't work out too well for me.
Well, you can practice in that nice facility y'all got where we were at for the baseball. Because, I mean, that place is beautiful, man.
Yeah, we're proud of it.
You should be on that. That was when we walked up to it, I had no idea. I mean, you had sent me stuff about they were building, and I'm like, well, that's not really a press box. That's more of a shadow room type place for the interviews and stuff. But I guess it's going to probably be VIP when it's real cold.
Well, yeah, when it's real cold tonight, shouldn't be a problem.
So. Nah, you're going to stay 70 till about 11, probably. Not like the last time we saw you over there and you played that. What? How many innings did they go? 8 innings that night?
I don't know. I got home at midnight.
Well, I was going to say they called it at midnight, but I think they played 8 and we left after 2. And it was cold.
It was 9:30 at 2 o'clock.
When you got frost on the baseball day, you don't need to be out there.
No, but glad to have you with us. How you been?
I'm doing pretty good. Had an opportunity the last couple of weeks to kind of, step away from basketball a little bit. And my daughter's been at home from spring break and from Carolina, and so I got to see her a little bit last week. And I now get to see my daughter every day at Emerald because she teaches English, English 2 there. So that's been really cool. And she's about to graduate Anderson University. And, just trying to get a little healthier. Going through a few things, but other than that, I'm good, and the weather's starting to warm up. So I usually perk up when the weather does. So, but it's been good. They got some rest.
Now, you had a great honor. You're leaving this weekend, probably tomorrow as well, for the North-South game.
Yep. That's been something that, as a coach, it's an honor to do that. And as a basketball coach, you don't get a opportunity. Not everybody gets the opportunity to do that. And I got selected probably 6 months ago, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, and it was an honor to do that. And I've got some good friends that are coaching in it also, head coach from Landrum and Clover, and a good buddy of mine from Andrew Jackson is doing the he's assistant coach down there, and we've played a couple times when I was at 96. So a lot of respect for those guys. And I was joking with my team because we were so short the other day this year. I told them, I said, well, I may see a dunk this week, so we didn't see one this year, but no, it's an honor, and my family's gonna be able to go down with me a little bit and get away from the normal stuff and just enjoy the experience of it. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Any big name players in this thing that we need to?
They had the North Carolina South Carolina game was like last weekend, and then they take the top 12. They choose the top 12 in the upstate and the top 12 in the lower state. And so there'll be some good players there. I know some of them. Some of them I don't. Played against one of them at Wren. He's a good player. It's Coach Campbell's grandson. He's a really good shooter. I think he led us up for about 26. But he's good. And but anytime I can meet more kids, meet more coaches, just learn. We got a couple practices next couple days, so I look to learn a little bit. And they also have a banquet there, and they do the all-state banquet also, so there'll be a bunch of coaches and kids there. So it's a big weekend for the South Carolina Basketball Coaches Association.
Fun, man. Sounds good. Very deserving, man, by the way. Very deserving. I noticed that you hadn't gone the way you wanted to because of health. But, man, like I said, man, you keep sounding that horn. And I know what I wanted to talk to you about. Tell me about the coach you brought in with you this year Coach that was your assistant this year?
Coach Baylor?
Yeah.
Coach Baylor, Dexter Baylor, he's he played for us when I was at Cowan Falls. And back in 2000, my first year was his junior, maybe junior year, senior year. And I had played for Coach Tao at the time at 96. And then I got into coaching there, and Dexter was a senior on that team. And me and him's always been really close. And his nieces go to Emeril, and kind of take them under my wing, you know, their family. And I'm good friends with his mom, and he'd want to get back into coaching. Three of his sons, one's played at McCormick, and the other two play at Abbeville. And so he's very basketball minded, but main thing, he's a great person. So he's somebody I want around our kids. And he did a tremendous job for us this year, and I really appreciate him coming. And he's the first guy that I've ever coached that came back to help me coach. And that was special. So he's coming back next year, so I didn't run him off. So.
Reliability.
he knows he gets to be a head coach every now and then.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while I get sick. You got your chance.
So. I know the inside scoop at Emeril now, man. All I got to wear is a blue flash hat. And DeBose and the rest of that inner circle over at Emeril now.
I always told Sammy that, I've had some procedures last couple of years, and they got a better record when I'm gone. I might just need to just have a bunch of procedures, and when we play somebody real good, they usually play pretty good. But, no, I think that's just respect that those kids have for the whole staff, and they usually kick it up a notch, an extra notch.
Coach, that's for you. Yeah. They're playing hard for you, and he expects that from them.
Well, they as far as practice and everything else, man, I can't ask for better kids that show up every day that nobody's missing because someone ain't there. We'll have practice at 6 a.m. and everybody will show up. So that's the good thing our kids do is show up. And as you show up every day, you're going to get better. So.
All in all, great year. Well, who are you going to lose this year, Coach, off of this team?
We got five seniors. Three of them did not play as much over the last couple of years, but they ended up contributing a lot on this team. Keenan Marshall, who was a all-region and all-Lakeland selection, he averaged about 16 points a game. Believe it or not, probably one of our smaller players. He almost averaged 8 rebounds a game. So, and Caleb Benson, who had a really good year for us, and we missed 3 role players, and Tristan and Cam and Robert. So, and like I said, they didn't play as much as they wanted to, but they never complained. I never felt like they slacked off in practice. They just kept working. So, we're going to miss the group that's left, but. I'm excited about the ones coming back.
How kind of late the baseball team was this year. When we interviewed the players and Coach Height, a lot of youth is going to be the key next year for your basketball team.
Bo Height had played for us early in the year as an 8th grader, and he was getting where he was starting to help us a little bit, and then he found out he had a hurt shoulder during football, so he got a surgery there, getting it repaired. He'll be back, and Eli Swansea. Played JV fours. He played really well, and got Key Logan, who doesn't play baseball. He used to play baseball, but he ended up averaging a double double last 4 games as a freshman. So he was really huge for us down the stretch. And every game we'd go to down the stretch, someone would say, "How old's that kid?" And I said, "Oh, he's a freshman." So it's we've got some younger kids too. We got a huge 9th grade group that we were able to keep on JV to get a lot of playing time. So we look for, Camille Hill and Cohen Brisher and people like that. Just, we're going to be young again next year. We're going to be young next year, but I really like where we're going to be in a year or two. So,
sounds like a team down the road that we've heard a little bit about this year, don't it?
It does sound like that. All right,
Coach. Everybody last year, and we ain't going to have no – we're going to be young next year.
We're going to go undefeated through the regular season.
We're just going to do that just for the fun.
What do you call that, coach speak? So, all right, Coach, we've already discussed it at the baseball game, but I'm going to get you out. I'm going to call you. Talk to me about realignment and what it does for Emeril next year as far as, like, teams you play. I love the face you just gave.
Well, it's a killer region is what it is.
Well, first of all, just no matter what you do, coaching's hard. Like, I don't care what classification you're in. For example, football. We felt like we were already in a tough football region. So bring it on. We got to go just step it up. You know, it's just one of those things where our kids should be by now, they should be, especially our preseason. And I think I can speak for this, our preseason, you know, football schedule leading up to that gets you ready for that. Yeah, it's tougher, but but life's tough. So, you know, we're going to get over it, get on the bus and go play. I don't really like opening up with Wren and then Westside to start the region, and then you go to Lawrence, or I think it's Southside, Lawrence, whatever, and then we're going to play Greenwood in basketball this year. So we got McCormick or somebody, whoever, 96. You know, so we're just going to go compete. But as far as realignment is concerned, there's parts of it that's fair and there's parts of it that's not. Especially when you do the multiplier, mm-hmm. and you're counting kids that don't compete athletically, but you still got to count them on your enrollment.
Right.
And I think Greenwood's having the same issue as we are. And it's just one of those things. It's unfortunate, but you know what? It is what it is. I'm not going to coach any less coaching 2A as I was 4A. So we'll do the best we can and get our kids prepared. And that's why I'm kind of glad we played Wren the first round of the playoffs, because I told our kids, I said, look, this is a preview of where you got to be. So, and Coach Campbell does a really good job at Wren. So, the game, for example, against Wren is just so much cleaner. Sometimes basketball can get ugly, but some of these better teams, it gets cleaner. So we're going to have to clean some things up. We're going to keep playing hard, but we'll be okay. You know,
it's going to be interesting with this whole new realignment of things too, because you've got a mix of 3A and 4A in the 4A. You've got in each of the classifications, there's a mix of both of those. Yep. And there are some heavy favorites that are in all of that. But for the most part, you know, everybody is seeing new teams that they've never played before. So it's kind of an open market.
Yeah. And, you know, I've never coached. I don't think I've ever coached or played against Westside, for example. It's the first time we ever played Wren. Just played Lawrence a couple times in the tournament, Christmas tournament. Southside, I played a woman back that when I was at Abbeville. And then who's the next one? Fountain Inn, which is a new school. You know, and with that, where they're at, you never know what you're going to see from year to year, because they live kind of on that line between Hillcrest and everywhere else. But anyway, make a long story short, it's going to be a little bit different. Travel, we were a little concerned about the travel part, but we were kind of in no man's land. We're either going to go up north and play some of those schools, or we're going to go down towards Aiken. And, you know, it is what it is. Yeah,
pick your poison at that point.
I remember, like, when my son was over there playing, and we were going to Walhalla to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's a haul. I don't care who it is, you know. Yeah. And you got to go down to Chapin. You got to go. Mm-hmm. But being a new school at that time, we were just wanting to play anybody we could play. Whoever. We didn't care if you were 5A, 4A, 3A, nothing. We're a little old 2A school. We getting started, but we're going to come.
Yep.
And we're going to play you the best we can play you. And, you know, we didn't care we had to drive. It made for a long night, though, when your game starts at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
And you in Walhalla. And then you got to drive all the way back home.
Things change in Walhalla when it gets dark.
It's dark, yeah.
That's why you raise it back, man.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, and it wasn't just Walhalla. I mean, it was the other places that you have to go. But these kids are resilient.
Yeah.
They are. They really are. All they want to do is play and be treated fairly when you go to an away game. You know, you don't want to show up and the referee in the middle, oh, his son's playing. This might not be good. Yep. You know, but.
Well, let's make that statement, too, is the high school league is always looking for officials. No matter, I mean, if you've got a sport that you really love, best seat in the house is right there on the field or the court. Yeah. So, but, you know, I'm pushing that because, you know, I've done it. and been out there on it. They need the officials, and if you can help out, that'd be great.
But going back to what you know, Coach was saying about you know taking pride, and when you go somewhere, and you know, no matter what classification you were, I've been privileged to go to every school I've been through has kind of risen to the occasion. So, you know, it may take a year to kind of adjust to that, but our kids will get better and better, and we'll be prepared when it comes down to it. But I don't really think it's bothered me a whole lot. I mean, I just don't. I just think winning's hard.
Well, you got a good-looking bus to start with.
Yeah, that bus was good.
I mean, you got to get there, so it starts with.
I call it.
All right, we got a good-looking bus. Now, let's get us a
We got several names. We got Viking 1. We got – I call it the Purple Rain Train. You know, we got – and the kids, like, you know, we'll have 10 kids on the team, and we can fit in a minibus. So they say, Coach, we got to take Viking 1. I'm like, okay, let's get on the ship, and we'll go down the road. But I have actually drive the bus, too, and – those are nice buses, and they look good. Mm-hmm. And we're very – I want to say this. You go back to talking about the press box, and I know Greenwood can say the same thing and everything else, but we're extremely blessed to have the facilities we have because when we play a basketball game, for example, we have people come in and they'll say, man, this is the nicest gym we played in all year. And you know, when I remember the first time I walked in, and I came from 96, we had a beautiful gym there too. And, you know, and I've gotten spoiled with that. And I walk in sometimes and realize what a beautiful place we play in. And, Coach Height, I know he's – and Coach DeBose and all them, they're really proud. And Coach Height's done a really good job of kind of orchestrating that with the district. And I know the district kind of – pays for it, does everything they can. They got to do this and do that, but we're fortunate to have them fund that and our people in our community fund it. But they've done a really good job, and there's been a lot of work in designing things, what they can design. And they're throwing up some bricks here lately. And I told one of my basketball players, they're throwing up more bricks on that football press box than we do in a ball game last couple of days. But I noticed it today. They got behind with the rain.
Right. Yeah.
But we're just blessed. Our kids have the best of the best. They wear the best stuff. We want those 4 years to be the best 4 years they ever had. And they'll remember that. And this week, Coach DeBose mentioned it because we had Malachi Thomas sign this morning to Erskine. Mm-hmm. And we just take pride in what those kids experience. And we had Bradley Jones, who's at the Citadel, who's really now he's become a two-sport athlete in college, and Jalen Foster, who goes to Georgia State, come in this week. So we've had a couple visitors that come in, and they just it's just nice to, when they want to come back, and that just says that we've got an environment they want to come back to. So, well,
and that to that, mine were the first ones in.
Yeah,
went to school for. My son played 3 years. Never played a home game. His first home game was 10 years after he graduated an alumni game.
Yep.
You know, and you don't realize what that means to these kids. I mean, my daughter, it was her senior year before she got to play at Emerald on the field there. And it means so much to them to be able to play at home.
Yeah.
And not have to – well, we go to school over here, but yeah, okay. We got to go to Lander to play our game tonight, you know. You know,
the thing is they don't feel like the redheaded stepchild anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they are their own entity now.
And the facilities that are being built, to your point, they were first class to start with when the very first thing that was built was the softball and baseball field. Mm-hmm. And I can remember bringing brick dust out there to put on that infield or the baseball field because that's what the coaches wanted. The coaches got what they wanted and not just some architect over here and some surveyor saying, well, this will make a good, you know, this is what you need to do. Go throw some ryegrass out and play. No, they did it right. And when they put the football field in, of course, now it was a natural turf field. But the district has since come back and put the turf down. And now they're getting the press box that has been long overdue. Yeah. It had been long promised.
Promise is the word to use.
Yeah, I hope it has a bathroom in it. That's all.
And it's got an elevator. It's got a. I think it's got a bathroom.
See, yeah. Then I'm happy when. Oh, wow.
We all.
It'll just be two instead of three. That's like, the only
thing. The longest trick was. Where were we here? It was. I think it was up at Midland Valley, where we had to walk all the way across the field in order to use the restroom and come back.
That was us, but the people that played the Friday before just made use of the floor in the press box, and we could smell it.
But
longest one was South Point because you left me open mic'd, never doing
that. That was nothing. I've gone all the way around the field and come back, but
during a playoff game,
for you it seemed like forever.
Yeah, because I'm brand new, and I'm like, dude, what are you talking about?
Looking forward to getting all that done and ready for the football season to start. Spring practice is coming up. I know you guys got that coming up in May, as well. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when it gets closer. But Coach Scruggs, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, man.
Always a pleasure having you.
And I appreciate what y'all do for us and our kids. And it was good to see you guys the other night. And I wish I could have talked to you a little bit more. But
hey, you working, man. I understand that.
We're out there working and doing a little bit. And in the springtime, I get to go. Like tonight, I'm going to go probably work a little concession stand and go watch our kids play, I think, Fox Creek baseball. So it's a beautiful day for baseball. Coach Height's really working hard. To get that program where he wants it and it's going to take a little bit of time, but I remember him and I've worked with him, and I remember when he was at Abbeville. He's always been a fighter, and he's going to keep working, and he's a great coach and great person. He's been so good to me and my family and us. So I couldn't work for a better person, and we've got a lot of really good people over there. So it's been fun, but I really appreciate what y'all do for us and our community. And
we'll continue that, Coach. I promise you that.
All right.
I met the new athletic secretary the other night, too.
She's a good girl.
And I met the volleyball coach for the first time the other night.
She's a good lady. She's a tough one.
And they're all involved in the sports academy you guys got coming up. So we want
I'll plug that.
I'm glad you hit that because I told him to plug that for
What is it? First week of intercession?
Right.
You got that those dates?
That's right. March 25th through the 28th.
Yeah, I'll be there, hopefully. that'll be great. We usually have 50 to 75 kids there. Plug that in, and
you want to ball, man, because I told you Monday about that.
We get to do a little basketball drills every day, and we do a little soccer, and we'll have a little time where we just kind of sit down with them and talk about character stuff, and we do some volleyball with them. We do all kind of really fun things. We understand too that the kids are out, so we want them to have fun. We feed them pizza one day, maybe Chick-fil-A the next, maybe some ice cream or something, but it's fun, and the kids enjoy doing it. Some of them are getting a little too old for it, I think.
But they still want to come back. You may have to expand.
Bo Height, you finally got – you know, I hope you don't mind me saying or him or dad. Bo Height finally got too old for it, you know. anyway.
But well, he's not. He can actually contribute and be one of the mentors.
But, no, we've got several kids. That's the good thing about it. We got several players that come – that play for us, that come and help with the camp, and they give up their free time, their spring break to do it, and they love it. And we could not do that camp without those kids. And so it's fun. We have a bunch of coaches there, and it ought to be. The one that's in the spring is much better. I still think the one in the fall is too hot, but we don't do one in I don't think we do anything in the winter. I think one year we did, but that was mostly inside. But, yeah, it'll be fun.
I like the fact that you got the kids helping you out, because that's the main thing that I see around the community. When you go to watch football games, these kids emulate who these kids are, like you were talking about some of your basketball players. They come to your games. Yeah. They watch those guys play. They watch you coach, and they watch cheerleaders cheer. And that's what they want to be a part of, and you're giving them that opportunity. And that's awesome.
Yeah. They do a really good job of that. And, we got this community, this county, no matter what high school they go to, I've seen a lot of really good things from – whether it's Greenwood High, Emerald 96, you know, wherever it's where there's these kids just doing really good things, and that gets overlooked so many times that there's so many more kids doing good things and kids doing bad things, and we're just fortunate to have a bunch of kids involved in a bunch of things, and as long as they're at school and doing what they're supposed to do, they can stay out of trouble. So we welcome that anytime they can do it.
Good mindset.
So $25 a day. Mark it down your calendar, March 25th through the 28th. You can go to emeraldathletics.com, get all the details that are there, including the QR code, which I thought was really neat because you can scan it and then one button and all your information goes
in. We make
in,
a great babysitting service.
For at least most of the day.
We might.
In the process of
we
it.
We may can get Coach DeBose great to do opportunity. A bedtime story or something. Read a book.
If you do that, we're going to do a podcast on that. We'll go out there for
no,
that.
Don't do that.
So I haven't seen little Bo yet. I gotta get over there one time.
Bo's. I let Coach DeBose tea. Bo's a handful.
Well, he was.
He comes from a handful.
I was going to say.
So. But no, he's a beautiful young boy and got great parents. So he's as cute as he can be. So, we're gonna leave that at that.
All right, Coach. Again, appreciate your time. I know you gotta get out of here and get to where you need to go for practice and stuff. Always a pleasure. Please feel free to come in and join us anytime you like.
Thank y'all so much.
All right. Coach Mark Scruggs joining us from Emerald High School and the basketball coach here on the Lakeland Sports Guys. Guys, I can't even express enough what a pleasure it is having him in here and an opportunity like this, taking some time out in order to talk with us. And he's got a program that he's building from, starting over from the ground up. And he mentioned all the young guys that he's got coming up. And part of those guys we even talked about are involved in some of the AAU stuff and other stuff, the elite that's going on here and around the Lakeland. So.
And that's a big part of it. He'd let you know that. And while we're talking about, plug that date one more time and the time. And
all right, March 25th, 28th, the Viking Sports Academy going on at Emerald High School, where the Viking coaches, athletes, all the support staff will be out there to help provide mentoring, life skills, development activities, all kinds of games going on. But you got to go to emeraldathletics.com, and there could be a little QR code in the information seat, but it's right there on front. So you just click on the little link, it'll take you right to it.
Awesome. And good food, too, by the way. You got me hungry. Thank you.
And Coach is sitting there talking about, we're graduating five and, we're going to be young. And Chris makes a comment, well, that's just coach speak, Well, it's only coach speak if it's not the truth. Right. I mean, these guys, you better watch out for this team next year. He's kind of sitting there with the gun loaded waiting to pull the trigger.
Now, see, and God, that's sandbag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say that. We're going to play golf here.
All right. Well, he did mention, too, Malachi Thomas signing this morning.
Yep.
He's going to be one of the members of the Flying Fleet up there at Erskine University. They're going to be playing football up there. We wish him the best of luck. It should be a big addition to what they've got up there, because they need to find some guys that not only can block pass block, but can also block for the running game. And he's been able to. I mean, Malachi is one of those guys that can do both.
Well, and it's not just about being he's going to go to Erskine. He's going to come out there with a great education and a bright future. Yeah, he knows he's not going to the NFL. Now, he might. We don't ever know. But
you look at what games.
But
he's
got a backup plan, and he's executing that plan, and he's happy to be signing with Erskine.
I've been a little hard on Chad, but he's doing a good job with Lakeland signing players. Mm-hmm. So he's doing what he needs to do, especially for us around here in the Lakelands. He's signing local guys. He sees them play probably more than he sees anybody else play other than film. So he can come out and watch these guys in person. And that's a huge addition to that team. Like, just for what you said within itself, that's a huge addition for that team.
All right. Well, we're at Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. A beautiful sunny day. Going to get colder a little later on in the week, but we're welcoming all of this nice warm weather to go along with all of that. You're invited to come out. Howard's got the tables and the umbrellas out now. And twice baked potato with a ribeye steak sandwich is special today.
You changed
if you'd
up?
Like to get to it. And
you changed
it. Yeah, I changed it up. I had the pastrami. I just, something about pastrami and grilled onions that just, it's good.
Well, I had a nice big old bowl of salad and fresh as always.
So you ate healthy today.
He did eat healthy. It's a big bowl. A big plate, too, of salad. That was. But see, y'all are eating healthy. It's good. Keep y'all doing y'all's thing. And Coach mentioned baseball tonight. Fox Creek?
Yeah, Fox Creek tonight. It'll be game number 2, I believe. And then they play again tomorrow night against Fox Creek as well. So
might not get
we'll
that
see. Regular season's underway. All the teams have gotten started.
I know 96 is playing somebody tonight because they called today. Jake all said, well, I got back in town and I went over there and we had a game the other night and I went to get some peanuts out of the cooler and we didn't have any. He said he had some people mad.
Santa had to remind me about
that. He could be a little upset.
We know Tom Foskreek.
They got Newberry, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So
Foskreek was a team we watched play. Well coached. They played the, whatchamacallit, from Columbia. And the little
Cardinal Newman.
Cardinal Newman. The team we went, when we went over for the scrimmage and everything. And this should be a really good baseball game between Coach Height and their coach. They play a lot of small ball. And so does Emerald. So it should be an interesting game. We know we'll have a good pitcher on the mound because it'll be Will Howard or the other kid, one of the two, Meredith.
Cardinal Newman. Who came out of Cardinal Newman?
Baseball, football, or what?
Basketball, women's.
Yeah, I don't know.
Freshman this year at Carolina, Malaysia, Full Wiley.
I didn't know that. I was
That's where she played
somewhere.
Her high school ball
okay.
at.
I was thinking she went somewhere else. Nope. Good to know, man. She go ahead and plug her sauce, which we're talking about Full Wiley. I saw it on the Columbia thing. She's got her own garlic butter sauce that she put on crab legs, seafood, whatever. And that's her NIL deal. She's now signed with them.
I'm glad you mentioned NIL.
It's my favorite thing you're talking about.
I know it
we
is.
We got to
I
renegotiate our NIL deals, Chris.
The thing is,
well, I got mine right here.
NIL is coming to high school. We know that.
It is.
It's already infiltrated, what, like 17 states as of right now. Right now, it's in the legislation, and they're getting ready to talk about it here in the next month or two to go along with all of that. Georgia implemented it last year. And, of course, Sammy Brown, we know, was involved in all of that, and he what was the name of the Super Patch Company was the name of his NIL deal. And basically what it is, it's kind of a patch that helps you recover a little faster, but it doesn't have any of the high performance improving things that are involved in it. They do it, you know, through these little ridge patches that you get to put on. It helps you sleep better at night, things of that nature. The key to it, though, when you look at it, is in the wording of what can be done and how this NIL deal is done. Because you can't have your logo, you can't have your school, you can't be on your court, fields, or any of that nature. So it's strictly got to be you. It can't be anything that has to do with the high school that you play at. Is one of the things. So the compensation is not contingent on specific athlete performance or achievement is one of the other requirements for it, which means just because you can score 50 touchdowns in a game is not a reason to give you an NIL deal.
Right.
In that regard. Compensation is not provided as an incentive to enroll or remain enrolled in a specific school, which makes sense. Okay, now this is all coming from Georgia, and it's rules that I think, South Carolina probably needs to follow in regard to that. Also, the compensation is not provided by the school or any person acting as an agent for the school. So basically what you've done is you've taken the collective totally out of this.
Away.
So it's strictly NIL. The collective's not involved in any of that. Here's the following guidelines, though, for the NIL activities for the state of Georgia that I'm hoping South Carolina will also follow, and that is the intellectual property. No marks may be used, including but not limited to the school logos, school names, school uniforms, the mascot, or any trademark as part of the Georgia High School Association logo or acronyms. In that. So strictly, it's on your name image, and likeness. Nobody else is going to profit from this. It's strictly you. No school apparel or equipment shall be worn, which includes name, uniforms, logo, mascot, or any apparel that displays the high school association logo or acronyms. No member school facility may be used for the purpose of the name, image, and likeness activities. Okay, pretty much all this is in the same. You just need to put it in writing. No activities in conflict with a member school's local school district policy may be endorsed. Examples include, but not limited to, the usual tobacco, alcohol, controlled substances, things of that nature. And then students and their families should seek professional guidance on how NIL activities could impact collegiate financial aid and or tech implications, among other issues. And you also have 7 calendar days of any type of NIL contract that you sign, within those 7 days, you must notify the principal or the athletic director of the school that they attend. Okay? And that's pretty nutshell.
You know, that's kind of a dang if you do, dang if you don't, catch 22. They won't let the student use the name of the school, the mascot, the uniform, anything remotely close to the school. But yet, the player has to go and tell his athletic director, I just signed the NIL deal with the Mercedes-Benz dealer.
Well, and I think a lot of that is, too, because if schools have other regulations with the NIL that they've got to deal with, they're going to have to follow those regulations.
They can't. They can't, because it's name, image, likeness of that player.
But this is a high school league covering its butt. Pretty much.
There you go.
And high schools are going to have deals with, like, Nike, like I saw Coach
Right, Ed. And you don't want to have conflicting aspects where you have a player that has an image like with Adidas. Yeah, and you are a Nike school. So, you know, I can see kind of where that's
coming
from,
too. Good. I'm okay with that to a certain extent. But now, with what basically is doing is limit on what you can have. You can't have a whole lot with these NIL deals because what else can you – I mean, if this guy's got a patch – okay, it's like a Nicorette package if you smoke, but none of the additives that you're talking about, PCP, that for the
none of performance enhancing stuff.
What other companies are we even talking about would have a shot at a player?
Well, and it would be limited to your region or to your to your area only. That's the other key thing, unless you are a Sammy Brown and everybody knows you within the state of Georgia and South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida.
Well, I mean, it's not just about that player coming up with his own thing. He can go to the Mercedes-Benz dealer and say, look, I'm so-and-so. I can come over here and wash cars for you or sit here and sign autographs for you. Okay, we'll give you $800 a week. Done deal. Go down here to the local mom-and-pop restaurant. Hey, I'm going to eat breakfast here every morning. It's going to be free.
He's
there. I mean, you know.
It's true. And that's the kind of deals that you're looking at for high school
and
kids.
And it's going to be the kids that are the brightest and the smartest and can figure out where they can go. And it's a job interview, basically. And you're asking that person to give you money for you being in that building.
Yep. Here's kind of the rub on all this that I'm looking at, and it says in there that that I had read that it's specific athlete performance or achievement is not supposed to take that into account.
You wouldn't have the name or the image or the likeness if you wasn't doing something.
Right. So yeah, if you had somebody that was just on the scene.
Yeah. If I'm at Greenwood High and I'm a member of the chess club and I'm wiping everybody out, I can go get me an NIL deal because I'm on the chess club.
Yep, and see, the companies are going to –
I'm going to get it is because that company says, hey, he's wiping everybody out. It's not because, oh, that's who he is.
He's just on the club and I should sponsor somebody from the club. That's in where the rub is kind of – misleading in that regard, and it's hard to disprove it. You know, that's the other portion of it. So that's the one aspect of it I think that we need to kind of relook at it and see what happens with all that. I think it should be more of a team oriented. If the team is performing extremely well, why not make the NIL deal for everybody on that team? You know,
well, like Stan's talking about, if Sammy Brown does have a Mercedes dealership, he goes to wash cars every day. He can't wear his school's clothes then.
He couldn't do that in Georgia last year patch company.
Right.
But
and most high school kids only have what they get from the school.
But the thing is, he's the Index Journal Player of the Week, or like we used to, the Sunny 103.5. We give him a T-shirt. Can he wear that T-shirt? It ain't got nothing with the school on it.
That's a possibility.
Unfortunately, it did on the back. So, it had the school name and who they played.
Well, you could have left that off.
Yeah,
he can take
and,
that.
And it still would have been.
He could have worn that.
It could have been.
He could have worn that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Sports guys, player of the week, and
I like it, but there's a lot of intangibles that you're going to have to deal with. Who's going to monitor this? Who's going to actually go to all his when he goes to wash cars?
Well, that's the thing is the state of Georgia has implemented a special division or a special office, as they call it, that's got 10 guys, 10 folks in it that go statewide to make sure that all this is going the way it should and legalized.
How many towns can those guys visit? You got
over the course of a season, you know, you're looking at 5 days a week, you're going to 5 different ones. So,
but Chris is going down there on Saturday and he's got his Greenwood High hat on.
I might not wear it Sunday.
They didn't show up that Saturday, so Chris got away with it. And then all of a sudden, somebody's going to be calling.
That's what will happen.
I don't think he'll get away with it because there's going to be so much on Instagram and all the social media stuff that, I mean, I'm sure they're checking all of that out as well as to, you know.
Yeah, okay, but Chris, here and Chris has got his hat on. Mm-hmm. He's got it turned around backwards.
He can't see green.
And the only thing it's got is right there is Eagles. And they say, and then he turns it around. Oh, it's Philadelphia.
Like still, that. The Eagles is your mascot, and that would be a violation.
It's a Philadelphia hat.
Doesn't matter. If your mascot is the Eagles and you've got Eagles on front, that is a violation.
He was a what at Jefferson? What were they? The Dragons?
Dragons.
Well, he's all right because he ain't many other dragons. That's just Stan's like me. I'm trying to come up with loopholes. The way he wouldn't get away with is because you got too many people that scout these kids. And Sammy Brown probably has
you got
six
too
of those guys that are 10. They're probably going to watch him practice every
day. And everybody will turn everybody in.
Oh,
and you got these things right here, cell phones, and everybody's taking a picture.
And I think that's why it should maybe be based on team, like you're talking about, because other players are going to be jealous of Sammy. He's getting his money. Why can't we if we do the same thing? If the – what's the name of the patch company again?
Super Patch something. Yeah. Super –
So maybe what they should do is go to a team.
Super Patch Company.
And just go that route and say, look, this is what your kids can do. This is part of their NIL deal. And if you do that, maybe you at practice, you don't wear your – you just wear a white T-shirt to practice every day, and you wear your patch, and that's fine with what this company's doing.
Yeah.
And then on game day, you don't wear the patch. You take it off.
Yeah, because you can't promote it.
Okay, but just like down at South Carolina, and we heard the young lady tell us, she had just finished a deal with the University of South Carolina to pay every baseball player X number of dollars for wearing this shoe. Now, the school itself goes and gets a contract with Nike. Why isn't that money passed down to the kids? And that's the kids going to say, look, unless you're going to pay me to wear that Nike shirt or those Nike shoes, I'm wearing my Adidas, and you can't stop me.
They're not going to be able to stop. That's not going to happen.
And that leads right into what you were saying with the kid being able to go out and buy and sign an NIL deal with Adidas, even though the team – it's got Nike banners like we used to have out at Greenwood hung everywhere.
Rattler wore a headband. What was on the headband that he wore? It was a brand name.
I don't remember.
Was it Jordan? Was it Air Jordan? He wore the headband. I just wondered maybe he was getting NIL money for that headband.
Probably did.
If he was, he had the helmet on with it, though.
I think at the high school level, you know, the lure is there, but I think with the Georgia and some of these others, when they implement NIL, is the parents need to be involved, and there needs to be information concerning and let them know that, hey, you're going to have to pay taxes on whatever you have in all this, and there's, you know, these are the ramifications going into college with it. So
you're going to get a 1099 at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, I like that aspect that, the league is looking out for the individual player as well. So,
as far as sign up, go to college, you better know that you can get an education. You better know that you can file and get whatever kind of money you need funding coming in. I guess scholarship wouldn't matter in this.
In high school, as far as a scholarship would go, would
to
be
college,
implemented.
Yeah.
Scholarship would not, because at the end of your high school career is when the NIL's done. You'll get a new NIL deal.
Yeah, because you can't
for
carry it
Bojangles
over.
Or Pepsi or
but
Dr.
I
Pepper or something
I
else.
I wonder if the private schools can offer a scholarship as an NIL deal.
I would say no based on this legislation that they have saying that your name, image, and likeness cannot be reflected on the school that you go to.
But see, here's the thing. What he's going to, Harpootian is my man from Columbia. Now, you know my favorite private school down there. You got Rushes. If Rushes go to Harpooner, he goes to them. Well, kind of like what he's saying. He says, well, if this is, let's say, who's the best player this year in basketball? Grant was his name. 22 points a game or something like that. They end up playing in tournament. They go to Rushes. Who's to say Rushes just doesn't give his parents a check. They just bypass the school altogether. They probably would go to school to keep it legit, but, I mean, what's the school and what's Sacramento High School League, mainly Jerome, since he has a good time with this group that I have a good time with? What's going to prevent him from doing that? I mean, is there going to be a rule in here that says the no scholarship thing if it's a private school? That's one thing that would have to be addressed.
Yeah.
The difference from public to private, because we have differences with everything else.
Yeah, and a charter school is not a private school.
So, right. Yeah, that's right. That. You're right. And see, that's exactly. So it's all in definition, verbiage, let's say. So you got to get verbiage right. I learned that the whole way.
Well, we'll see what the legislature has. I mean, we've exposed some loopholes here and there and some things. We'll see.
Hopefully the state of South Carolina, their legislatures, they'll form a committee. Well, hopefully this committee will look into more than just one state. We don't want to just go and do what Georgia's doing. We don't want to go and do what South Dakota's doing. Let's get –
take a
you got 17 states – send me your paperwork, and I all of a sudden now I got 5,000 pages of stuff to read, but I can go through and highlight and see what matches.
Yeah,
and see what everybody thinks is.
You know, I looked at three.
It.
I looked at Georgia. I looked at North Carolina with what they've got going on. I also looked at South Dakota and what they're doing with that.
Well, see, I would say Florida because they're bordering us. So yeah, so you would. I mean,
and Florida does not have an NIL at all. They're not even looking into it right now. So.
They're smart.
Yeah, they're not dealing with it.
They're not going to
Texas
with
is NIL deal. They've got one pretty good as well.
They got all that oil money out there. Maybe that'll help balance out the money that people give to Texas and Texas A&M. Maybe they're going to start giving it to the high school, so now the colleges don't have as much.
If you see the stadiums out there, they are giving it to the high schools.
The first Texas kid was Arch Manning, by the way. From Mississippi. Yeah. I mean, he was the first Texas NIL guy when he goes to school out there. Like I said, I'm more worried about, like, the kids playing wherever they want to. Like Coach is talking about the multiply counting against the what they're going to be penalized for what the player, you know, the student's not even in activities. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Horse Creek Academy or whatever their appeal.
Students that don't play athletics that are strictly there for the academics.
They're coming to the school strictly for the academics. Mm-hmm.
I did see Horse Creek doing something. I don't remember if it was badminton or it was a sport I wouldn't think it would be high school.
Do know that the quarterback at Greenville, I think, is going to Horse Academy.
Oh, really?
So, I think he's already made the transfer and is there this semester.
Maybe I'm starting to see that. Maybe it is starting to be the four major things. And maybe that's why the appeal was what they were trying to get done and have it that way, and then they'll worry about what's coming next, you know, starting next year.
Because they'll be eligible this year for football. It'll be their first year because they've already done 2 years.
I was kind of agreeing with Mike, go up and steal that kid, I mean, and I also thought that maybe Coach Porter would take it with him to Lawrence. But anyway, that's a good, I'm glad, like I said, you think outside the box. I don't. Of course, I read about it everywhere. Max Preps is all about an NIL. I wouldn't be stunned if they don't start putting scholarship money out. Because, I mean, they're a syndication, so they got money coming in for stuff like that for high school players.
Okay. Real quick, while you brought up Max Prep and what's going on there, I heard from Jeff Maple, sent out an email to all the representatives from the South Carolina Football Stats.com. He basically said that the word is right now that the playoff ranking system in the state of South Carolina is going to use the RPI system that is used by Max Prep. Now, it's not Max Prep that's doing it.
Right.
They're just using the system and the point system that's involved with all that. But, he's going to, it's a complicated system, too. You don't even want to know what it is because it's kind of like quad one, quad two wins in basketball.
That's exactly what it is. Basketball's very hard.
They'll have access, according to Jeff anyway, that South Carolina Football Stats is going to have access to the rankings and the calculations as part of the membership for the website, and so you won't have to search for any numbers. It'll all be there for us, which is going to be kind of nice. But you know, sometime in the spring, maybe early summer, is when we'll know a little bit more as to what the rankings are, and that will be also implemented as part of the playoff system. In the process as well, particularly in 5A, I think is where you're going to see the majority of that used, for the most part. So we'll follow along and see how it goes. And you're good at math.
Well, we're going to have to call Bill Gates and get one of them supercomputers sent down here, because I still don't understand. You can have a team play a team on the road, and it could be a quad wood win for them. Play that same team at home and beat them. And it's a quad two win. It's the same team.
Yeah.
You just change locations.
And over the course of that week and a half or something, they beat or lost to a three,
And see, numbers can be doctored. That's the problem I have with that whole deal there is, I mean, let's just say, I'm going to use Willie's example because he is a statistician, but let's say he gets the numbers wrong and he sends it in. I don't think you can go by what he sends, you know. You know, and if it's, let's say it's basketball and he had a kid that had 31 points in a game, and the kid didn't score but 10, that's going to shoot everything out of proportion, and that will change what you're talking about when you start looking at football is okay, because I followed it this year pretty closely, as you know, Max Prep, to see the players, Owen Williams and some of the other guys, but it'll be interesting for other sports like basketball, baseball. Baseball, you just forget about Max Prep.
Yeah, but every school then will have to report their numbers and everything to the high school league in order to get all of this calculated.
So. Right. And you know the problems we've had in the past, and with just getting a roster from a school into a format that we like to use, can you imagine every high school in this state having to go to the same software to enter their stuff to be sent down here to this office so they can determine the seating? No, ain't happening.
If they make it a requirement for it, they're going to have to.
I mean, well, you've got to make it a requirement.
Just, right, and you would have to. We see it every football season. We try to get rosters. And, you know, let's just be honest about it. I mean, 85% of them, we get them quickly, and they're in a format that we can use. Yeah. But then all of a sudden we get that one coach that thinks he's in the Super Bowl, and you don't get it till 3:30 on Friday, and it's in some file that you – and you're sitting there having to retype every little thing. That can't happen.
What's going to happen is either the athletic secretary or the assistant head coach is going to be the one that's going to have to put all this in, or the statistician, for that matter, may be the one that's required to do all that.
And you're going to have to buy that software, and it's not going to be cheap. And then you're going to have to send that person to a week's training on you to stay in that hotel room and the food for three meals a day to get them trained how to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Let Max Prep pay for this. If they want to start it and they want to implement it at all.
But it's not Max Prep. It's the software that Max Prep is using. Max Prep's not going to be in charge of it.
You're right. They're an organization.
The software that Max Prep is using, they want every high school to use, and that's going to be sent to the high school league, somebody's office.
Yeah, it's gonna have to put it in the ivory tower.
It's a money making deal.
And it doesn't really seem, I mean, we've talked to some folks that have used that software before, and it doesn't seem that complicated. So.
And it's probably not, but, you know, here to get however many high schools there are in the state of South Carolina on the same page.
We see enough trouble with high school league and everything else. Leave this alone.
It's going to be like the parting of the Red Sea, brother.
All right.
It'd be a miracle if it happened.
One final thing to talk about at the high school before we move on from here, and that is the football coaches and the changes that are going on. We were 5 last week. We're down to 3 this week. Silver Bluff, they've hired Matt Hayes, if that name is familiar. That's because he was on the staff at Strom Thurmond High School. He's now the new head football coach at Silver Bluff. Prior to that, he was at South Aiken, was also at Silver Bluff, and I didn't know it, but he was also a player. And an assistant coach at Silver Bluff back in the day. So he's, you know, it's going to be a homecoming for him coming in here. But he won a state championship as a player in 2000 under Al Loudon. Mm-hmm. And he also added another championship as an assistant in 2001.
That's why I was excited to see that kid. I mean, You just mentioned the reason he's going to be good at Silver Bluff. He played under Al Loud. Anything Al ever did, he was probably one of the first 1 or 2A coaches that ever did a lot of this stuff as far as getting these players to play and building a program the right way. And, I mean, I think that's a great hire. They have Strom Thurmond loses a really good coach. Mm-hmm. Our assistant coach, I should
assistant coach to go along with it. The other one was Rock Hill, and, yeah. And folks, Rock Hill is going to be turned around here in about 2 years. It's going to be totally different by the time the realignment comes around. That's because Randy Birch, who was the co-defensive coordinator over at Gaffney, he's been there since, what, 2015, was on the staff back in 2013 as well back then. But prior to that, he was at Western Carolina. He's the new head football coach at Rock Hill to go along with that. So, you know, things can turn around at Rock Hill, and we're going to, you know, with the realignment, the new schools that are going on and stuff, it's going to be interesting to see how much improvement Rock Hill makes over the course of not just this year, but I'm thinking year 2 and 3.
I think this year, because, you know, they were one of the teams that stayed where they wanted to be. They weren't forced to move anywhere, do anything. So
just stay to 5A.
I think they're just going to, like you say, I remember the havoc in the couple games when we played Gaffney, you know, when we went up there and they came. That defense is solid, and it's always been solid. If he takes that mentality, your South Point, who has now gone to defensive without with Coach gone, and then you've got Northwestern, who's another good defensive guy. Coach Swafford's a really good offensive mind coach, and there's another defensive guy going up there that'll be in that same little area. What do you call Titletown, USA?
It's Titletown, USA, but you got Catawba Ridge, Fort Mill is on the improvement. They got a new high school that's going to start a new football program as well here in the next year or two. I mean, that area is just growing so fast. And we're not talking about, you know, 2A, 3A to start out with. They're coming in at 4 and 5A.
That place is growing. We saw it when we went to Greenville, when we went to Rock Hill, Fort Mill. We saw it. That place is booming.
Well, and that's just like Fountain Inn opening up in Greenville. And you look at some of the schools down around Columbia. They're not opening up as 1A and 2A school. It's just not. Where all these people come from, I got no idea. But
they're coming out of Charlotte and saying, we don't want to be taxed anymore.
That's what it is.
Charlotte, yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
All right, other schools still looking. There's three of them left. Chesney is looking for a replacement for Clay Lewis. You also have Louisville with Leon Boware moving on to Lugoff-Elgin. So Louisville is the other school that's looking. And the third school still hasn't found a coach as of yet, looking to replace Mike Howard at St. John's. So by the time spring ball rolls around, we should have everybody, provided it's not another head coach somewhere else, we should have everybody, in a head coaching
job. I think Louisville goes in to make some. I'm going to tell you, that's the job that I had looked at for a while. I would rather probably coach Louisville than I would Silver Bluff.
And then the high school NIL is going to hit, and we're going to lose about half the coaches we got.
Yeah.
Because they're not going on a fool.
It's a possibility, because you're right. I mean, head coach probably, the ADs are the ones probably going to pull the hair out.
Yeah.
And the secretary is just dancing.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, it is March Madness, as they like to call it. We're in Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. I know that B-Rat will probably have his March Madness poll that'll be up on the wall and being part of all that. We'll have Crystal set it up for the Lakeland sports guys here probably Sunday night, Monday morning. So you can be part of that as well. For both the ladies and the guys, that's the thing about it is, these tournaments are going on. And we know pretty much all the ladies that are done, and congrats again to the South Carolina women. We talked about that on Monday and the big win that they had over LSU. And then my Tigers go up to Washington, D.C. in the ACC tournament and lay a big goose egg in the process of all that. They lose by 21, 76-55 in the ACC tournament. And really, for the most part, you just got the feeling that they weren't ready to play. They came out slow and sluggish. And Boston College, you know, they had played the day before. They looked like they had the fresher legs out of all of this to go along with all that. But the Tigers entered the game with the first round bye, or entered the tournament with the first round bye. P.J. Hall and Joseph Girard seemed to be the only points. They had 38 of the 55 points to go along with all that. But, you know, and I look at Joseph Girard with about six minutes to go in the second half. You can tell that this team was pretty much done with the exception of a couple players that were still wanting to try to spark something, trying to get something to go. Girard was putting up, I mean, just unbelievable goofy shots here and there, trying to get something to fall to get a little spark out of everybody, and that never really did happen. But they got out-rebounded badly, 43-27, and I know that's one of Stan's points.
That's his arguing point.
I watched that game, and, you know, Brunell goes to a 2-3 zone. It's just a straight 2-3 zone. It's not a matchup zone. You've got 6'10 P.J. Hall back there. With 5 minutes left to go in the game, he had zero rebounds. No offensive, no defensive rebounds. He finally gets one offensive rebound. Okay, now I can understand, and we've had this conversation, Brunell's offense, he likes to pull P.J. out to the top and use him as a facilitator to a degree and let him put up a few threes. Got no problem with that. You can do that, but P.J., you've got to crash the boards too. You got to be aware of what's going on. But, okay, we say we're not going to be too concerned about his offensive rebounding. We get to the other end of the floor, and we play in a 2-3 zone. You better be getting some defensive rebounds. You got no responsibilities as far as man goes. It's not a matchup zone. Come on. You got to get some defensive. And when you get out rebounded like they did, double digits, and you look at it for every rebound that Boston College got, that equated to a point.
And Boston College
up beating Clemson by 21.
Yeah.
You know, this men's team kind of emulated what the women's Clemson team did in the first game of the ACC.
I won't say that.
You're right.
Pack the bags and go home. You know, I'm hoping that South Carolina and Lamont Pass should do the same thing that the Carolina women did. Just go in there and beat everybody and go home with the trophy. But it's just eerie and, you know, this time last year, every Clemson folks were in arms, just ranting and raving about being left out of the big dance. Felt like they had played well enough to be there. And we did. I mean, we felt like they got slighted. Now this year, okay, we're looking at it, you know, less than a week ago, we were looking at Clemson being a number five seed in the big dance. Then you go to Wake Forest and lay an egg. Then you go to the ACC tournament after you had the first day bye, which you hadn't had in a while, but you got it. You should have had got the double bye because you should have beat Wake Forest to begin with.
Yeah. And, here's something
that. And then all these pundits start coming out. Now the big question is, our teams throwing these earlier games in their conference championships just so they can go home and get that extra 2 or 3 days rest to be ready for the big dance.
Well, we know if it was Frank, it would have been the case.
What does those extra days do for you?
The rest does you a still, lot. The rest well, does the, a lot. Rest,
but you're still going to be practicing.
Yeah, you won't practice the rest of this week.
But you're okay, you take that week off. Now you come back. All right, everybody should be healed up from all the little bumps and bruises. Now we're starting practice again. Well, you know, in 3 days we had off show, we're nice, Coach. You know, we didn't get to go to spring break like everybody else did.
Well, that's where you lean on the leadership and the coaches in order to make sure that they're good to go in that regard. But here's the thing with Clemson. You go back to January, and we thought, gosh, this team is beating everybody. They beat number 23 Alabama. Yeah. They come out, and they beat North Carolina. And you're thinking, wow, things are really going well.
But they were playing great defense, and they were rebounding.
You know, and over the last 2 weeks of the regular season, that same team hasn't been there. And a lot of it, and I said it, a few weeks ago as well, Brad Burnell was starting to rest people a lot more and a lot longer. And, you know, P.J. Hall and Girard were putting in 35 minutes or so every game. And so now all that starting, that wear and tear starting to affect them in that regard. So now you get a chance to get these guys to rest. But leading up to this point, those guys, in my opinion, are tired. This isn't the same team it was back in early February and January. I mean, it is a team that is not deep in depth at all. You're relying a lot on your six, seven players maybe total in all this. So, it's
– But that goes back to what the one guy on one of the national shows was talking. I forgot what team he was talking about. And they were talking about this freshman that this team had. And the guy looked at him and said, dude, it's March. There's no such thing as a freshman anymore. These are sophomores. These are men that have been through a practice season. This stuff started last summer. It didn't start last week. These freshmen have been in there, a year now or longer.
And they know the system better than they did.
And they know the system, and they know each other. They know what the game plan is. They know what the coach is going to do. There's no question in it. So
yeah, the only difference is the experience and playing time.
Experience on the big stage. Well, how do you get experience on the big stage? Well,
you got to step up on the court.
You win the first game that you play. Okay, I'm ticked off because we didn't get the double bye because we played like crap at Wake Forest. Okay, I'm ticked off. I'm going to go win the first game. I want to see what it feels like to be moving on.
Right, and that's where you got to have somebody that's willing to step up in that regard. But yeah, if you've got tired legs and as I like to call it, the big three that are involved with Clemson. Where was Wiggins? Wiggins was awful in the last two games. I think he only had 2 points to go along with it in this ACC game. So I question that aspect of it. The guys that have been coming off the bench that haven't been a factor, why aren't they a factor? Is that a coaching thing or is it a player development thing? That falls in there.
But you have and I don't mean this, you have an older team this year. You don't look down the bench and see four freshmen. You look down the bench and see two seniors and a couple of juniors. Oh, these guys all know what it means to play at this time of year, what the demands on their time may be when they get to the tournament with interviews and weird practice times and different things. I mean, they should know this by now.
They should, but like I say,
you're still dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds.
You are. Yeah.
And they missed spring break. So, by golly, we missed spring break. They didn't get to go with their buddies.
I'll miss it to go to the big dance anytime.
There you go.
To go along with it. But it's on a positive note, we may mention that the only positive note I can see out of this is that they're going to have some fresher legs. It's going to be a chance for Brad Bunnell to actually do some coaching and get these guys ready for the big dance and where they end up. As far as where they could end up, we were hoping they were going to be a 5, maybe a 6 seed. That has now changed to maybe a 7 to a 9 seed. Yeah. So,
and we still hadn't seen the brackets. And like Chris alluded to earlier, that may not be a bad thing.
It might not.
Depending on how the brackets shake out, depending on where you get placed. I mean, you could be – it would be bad to have to fly from the East Coast to a West Coast time zone, but then you look at the bracket and it may be an easier road to get back to the East Coast.
And if they're a 7 seed, that means they're playing a 12 seed, so you're playing a team that's equal, that you're a little bit better than. Yeah. But the thing is, if you win that game, then you got the winner of a 2-15 matchup. And how many 15 seeds have pulled the Cinderella off? Not that many. So you got a good chance you're going to be playing a 2 seed. And we've seen Clemson time and time again. They like to play the ranked teams, the better teams.
Well, they would rather play the better teams, but that's what scares you. Because all of a sudden now, just like in the game last night, they were the 6 seed. They were playing an 11 seed. Now, okay, we go into the tournament. Okay, we draw a 12 seed first game. Oh, we're an 8-9. Oh, we got this game won. Next thing you know, that 12 seed's beating them by 20.
Well, that's what everybody's afraid of, and B-Rad's probably one of those.
B-Rad's already got the coach's resume. He wants somybody.
I saw you jumping the gun. I'll sit here and I'll listen to you, and then we'll I can't educate you, but I'm going to tell you something. We talk about 11 seeds. I'm not going to talk about it because today the Gamecocks have got another game that I think they lose. And I love my Gamecocks. I love Lamont Parrots. I think whatever we do tomorrow, give them a raise. This is a game that we're probably not going to win. And are we going to come out and we're going to say we lost it on purpose because we want fresh legs? This Clemson team is still a dangerous basketball team. I look at Boston College. Clemson's 21-11. Boston College is 19-14. That's a really good season under most things. I mean, had you played Wake Forest, you'd have played Notre Dame, who should have pulled the upset last night on the Wake Forest team.
And they should have won.
Shrewsbury's done a phenomenal job. This is a young league other than Clemson, and that's where I agree with Stan. Clemson is one of the teams, or North Carolina, that is one of the oldest teams on the court right now, and I think come tournament time, that's when you better worry when you see that Paul on your bracket. Because that's what they're looking for. I agree with you about fresh legs. I don't think they blew that game on person. Boston College missed no free throws last night. 16 for 16 from the line. 16 points, and you were 13 for 7. I mean, 7 for 13. So, I mean, you shot the ball decently well. We talk about rebounds all day. I mean, to me, that's not P.J. Hall's job. Now, on defense it is, but on offense – no, I mean, he's got too many – he's your role player. So, he is your – for us, it's our CMB, Kyler Murray Brewers. So, you got to play him that way. Shepland's the one that has let you down. I'm going to tell you the one that I won't give props to today. What's his first name? Jack Clark? Mm-hmm. Played his butt off last night. Didn't score a lot. Played his butt off. Wiggins and Godfrey? I don't know that Godfrey scored, to be honest with you. I got it right here. But, I mean, I don't know that – and Chase Hunter. You know what he shot
last night?
You know what he shot
terrible.
Last night? 0 for 10.
Yeah. Godfrey had 3 points.
When does Chase Hunter shoot 0 for 10 from anywhere? He don't shoot 0 for 10 in practice. That's another 20 that you're going to be to pick up now that you're not going to have to play a whoever. And I'm not going to say that Virginia is going to blow the brakes off of these kids. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think they will. I mean, I think, you know, B-Red's right there. But, I mean, I think this is a scary team in the tournament. I'm telling you.
I'm hoping
my bracket, they'll be there. So, I mean, I'm going to have them in the Final Four, but they're going
to
be
– the thing is they've got a monkey on their back that they need to shake off, and that goes back to the NIL last year.
He said,
process,
yeah, well, he's 220 pounds. But I like – listen, I am still a proponent of Brownell. He hadn't forgot basketball. The one thing, like I told Ben today, when Ben was in here and he was all that, you know, Coach Scruggs is kind of like me. I like Coach. I'm a Gamecock, and I'm promoting this guy because I'm telling you something. For how many years has he been there?
Like, 50, what, 12?
12.
12 to 13.
Been a while. Something like that.
I mean, look what he took over. I mean, look who he recruits to get. He don't have the McDonald's guys knocking that door down, knocking that phone down every day like Duke. So whoever you get, Ben wants a young guy, but how many young coaches are out there? Maybe that's the reason the Gamecocks have the 9 o'clock interview tomorrow, Stan.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean,
because that's the guy we come after.
The one thing that would concern me as a Clemson fan is the fact that Brownell has been there 12 years, and he has not been the salesman for the university that he needed to be. Amanda Butler's actually got him beat. Because she did get a McDonald's All-American to come to Clemson.
That has been mentioned.
That's what Brownell needs to be doing. Yeah, you can't sit back and say, oh, we poor Clemson, we're a football school. I can't recruit. No, you're not going to get a McDonald's All-American unless you go and you get him and you bring him in on that campus. And then you got a shot at signing him.
Well, the thing is, there's still the top echelon of the ACC without an All-American. So,
well, I mean, it was
that's where I'm going at. And that's what I'm looking at. He's graduating. He's doing things he needs to do with the team. Sometimes, for me, it is about wins and losses because that's what we do. For a coach, like when Coach Roy was there, like Stan coached, I don't necessarily say it's all about – it's 9-3, Carolina's getting beat already. So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's the reason I will not talk on in a bad thing about – yeah, I'm not gonna put us in a losing bracket too because I don't want to see it. But, like I said, I'm not worried about the Clemson team. I think they come out and they are a 9. Let's say they are 8, 9, whatever. I feel good about whoever they play because that schedule still is reminiscent of ACC. Now, if they play a 8 seed like a Stackhouse from Vanderbilt, that'd be a good game. If he doesn't get fired, he's the next one probably on the list too. So, before you fire somebody, and I should have heard this last year, y'all should have told me this about old Frank. Know who you want first and make sure that guy's going to be available. That's why I love the Board of Trustees is I got that press conference in the morning because they know how Ohio State, now Penn State, possibly Clemson, they're going to be looking for a young head coach, and Lamont Ferris is the guy, and I'm glad we're going to keep him through 30.
Yeah, they're going to give him some money and a huge extension in the process of all that. So,
but to your point, talking about the South Carolina game and Arkansas game today, if you go back and look at Lamont Parrish's last year at Chattanooga.
Oh, yeah.
Guess what he did? He won every road game. I think they had something like a 32-game road winning streak. He's brought that to Carolina. He's gone into places this year. You don't go into Thompson Bowling in Tennessee and win. You don't go out to the hump and win. He's done it. And now, is this team an all-star? No, it's not. But he knew what he needed to get to win in his second year. And he knows how to win on the road.
I only brought that one up, though, because we're talking about Duke. Paul B. Rest still over there crying about this. I mean, it's okay, brother. Let me tell you, 19-14 Boston College and 16-16 Arkansas. That's why I'm not saying a word about losing today. If we lose today, there's going to be no excuses. We got beat by a worse team than we shouldn't have lost the game.
I wouldn't have mind Clemson losing if it wasn't by 21.
Yeah,
you know,
a close ball game.
You know, it was 6 minutes in, and when I looked, it was 14-7. Next time I looked, it was 18-9. I mean, and that was like a minute and a half later. Yeah. And it kept building, and they could never extend or dig into the they take that back. They got within two in the second half and then ended up Boston College
just
taking off.
They went to the locker room and took some time off and just let Boston College stand out there and shoot some threes and hit some layups.
I think you got to give Grant credit. He's a Brownell disciple. Let's call him what we call every other coach as an assistant. He's a Brownell assistant. He knows how he prepares at halftime. Like I said, I mean, you got 16 points. You lost by 21. They didn't miss a free throw. You know, I mean, I understand that if Clemson had made their free throws, they would have been closer. But, I mean.
No, they wouldn't have been in closer till they get that rebounding margin down.
But, see, I'm a Gamecock, and we don't rebound that great.
We're closer than what Clemson was last night.
I mean,
B.J. Mack, we run a lot of a similar offense. B.J. Mack will step out to the top of the key and will knock down some threes, but he's also in there rebounding on the offensive and defensive end of the floor.
Well, you don't have the threat with B.J. Mack underneath the basket if he's not under there, and that's why they took PJ Hall and kept moving him out,
right?
Because there's no way that center was going to shoot a three, and yet PJ and man-to-man had to go out that way, but didn't make excuse for why they couldn't do it in the zone.
The defense, that's why I'm saying that I can accept a trade-off on the offensive side, but I could maybe accept a little bit if Clemson was playing man and he's having to chase another son, which you really don't a lot of. But, you know, it's easier to get blocked out if you're playing man. You're in a zone. You're going to get your feet. You can get set. You should be snatching every rebound. And Shefflin didn't. How many did Shefflin have? He didn't have about 8, 9 rebounds.
Six. I think he had 6.
6. And that's the two biggest rebounders, and they combined for 7 rebounds in a game that you get beat by 21. That's why you got beat by 21. It's not – this isn't rocket science.
I just think, though, if you worry about P.J. Hall rebounding, going in there and banging, he's already fouled – he always fouls anyway, but I think that's the reason you don't force him to go in and be the main guy to get the rebounds. That's why you got a Shefflin.
But it's like Wiggins, Thomas said before, when he goes in there and is playing hard and he gets the fouls called against him, it seems to pick the rest of the team up, and they seem to want to play better. when he's in there mixing it up.
When he's underneath the basket.
Yeah. He had three last night. Yeah. I followed after half. He didn't have but one at halftime. So, I mean, it's all in all, this is what it is. We come. This is all mute. If they come out next week, that first round on Thursday.
And lay an egg?
No. Yeah. If they lay an egg in the first round, I think people like B-Rad and Ben and the rest of these guys want to fire this guy. That's fine. I'm not even going to argue with you then, kind of like Butler, the lady coach. And I think we've already seen this week, Graham Neff ain't playing.
And you made mention and Neff has somebody lined up, and I'm sure he's going through the list and has already probably contacted them before he even did it. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next 2 weeks we see a new women's head basketball coach that's going to be there. And then the question is, can they keep the All-Americans that they've got and the ones that are coming in? That's going to be a big factor, I think, in all of this. And, of course, one of the ladies you got to look at is Neff looking over at PC to the young lady over there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the names, and the Kentucky lady, Zyler or whatever.
They just got let go.
But, I mean, like I said, all in all, you're going to get a new coach there for sure. And, like I said, you've already seen Graham Neff pull that one plug. If it doesn't go well next Thursday when they play that first-round game and they get blown out, let's say they get blown out. Oh, yeah, I think there definitely will be a change. But if he wins one or two games in that tournament, you're going to have Brownell for another 3 or 4 years, probably.
Well, the other talking heads like us that I'm listening to, they're saying that Clemson has a chance of winning 2, maybe 3 games. They get through the first week into the and possibly that next week as well.
Everybody's talking like that, but they're all relying on these so-called bracketologists. We got to wait till, not this Sunday, but this coming Sunday. The women's.
I think it's both Sundays.
It is.
And then, you got to wait till the bracket comes out. I mean, we're guessing it. Clemson may still be a 5 seed.
Yeah, we don't know.
With this committee, so weird. You don't know. And if they are, and they go out and they, like you say, they lay an egg, oh, Lord, Little John's caving in up there because Ronnell better be out of the way.
I think they win their first game. Because they're going to get a Manhattan or somebody like that.
We said, we talked about it. The way they played earlier in the season, now they did have that one little stretch in the middle of the season, but then it seemed like they righted the ship. They had things going the right way again. Then all of a sudden, this last week, 10 days, they've just kind of went to sleep on us.
All right, so we'll follow along with all that. By the way, Gamecocks have pulled within one.
CMB, baby, so CMB.
Don't count them out because they play on.
I think defensive, but like I said, and the reason I did it that way, Stan, is because BC's a lot better team than Arkansas is, and we're throwing all that out about Brownell and Clemson playing like crap and all the other. But if we were to somehow lay an egg to a 500 team, that ain't good.
No, it's not.
And that's going to drop us down even 25-6. What's Clemson's record? 20 and 12,
isn't it? 21-12.
21-12, and that's still still a good record. But I'm more worried about losing to a 500 team than I am a team that's a pretty good basketball team in the ACC. So, because I don't know what's happened to Arkansas. It's got to be injuries. Because Musselman, you remember, he got his 100th or 400 win or 100 win at Arkansas when the season started. So I don't know what's happened with that. But anyway, we're going to continue to watch it and see. You're on laptop, I'm on phone. So. And I hope the Gamecocks do pull it through because that'll set us up with Mississippi
Auburn.
State and is it Auburn we'll play? So Bruce Pearl. So some more ruckus probably this week if they play. Bruce and Cruella, they're pretty close.
You got the Showboaters is who you got next coming up if you win, right?
That's a team we can win. I think Auburn's a team that basically that we can play well with. I mean, it's just going to be – like I said, I don't need – Meechie Johnson's already 0-3, but I don't need CMB scoring 40 points today. I need this team, Talon Cooper, to get double digits, Mac to get double digits. And this may be the game you get double figures from B.J. Mac. Figures in points and rebounds.
Studi and Miles Talon Studi. Cooper.
But Studi's already got two rebounds. But it worries me, and they're a 16-16 team. Yeah. They're a 500 team, and then – they're leading us by one right now. But anyway.
And then you look at Auburn. Auburn plays great on their home floor. I think all but one of their losses have come on the road. Guess what they are? They're on the road in Nashville.
We play well against them. We match up well against them. But we got to beat Arkansas first. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Take it one game at a time.
And that's how Coach Ferris is telling it.
And it's been, we're going to play our game. And, you know.
We didn't say it the other day, Tom, but on Monday, Coastal did a good thing with the basketball coach. They hired the guy at Western Carolina. Yeah. He's probably going to win the Southern again this year. Yeah. And they're going to go after Southern, a black, you know, minority coach. And he's young. And I think that changes a lot for the parameter of the Coastal basketball team. I look for them. He's going to follow the same suit as Lamont because they played against each other. Mm-hmm. Or coached against each other, I should say. But that's a really good hire for them. We don't talk Coastal a whole lot. What was the final of the baseball game the other night?
It was like 21-8 or something.
It was you played like top tier teams, and then you're.
I mean, the Wake Forest game Tuesday night was 18-9. I think was the final.
And you're and that's your number one pitching staff in the country is Wake Forest, and you're still scoring. That's a lot for the offense.
You know, and then I texted you. I texted you afterwards and said, "Good gosh, we got to play these guys on March 26th."
Yeah, Gilmore. I'm telling you,
it's a home and home kind of a thing. So we're going to end up playing Coastal twice in the process.
They see this as Gilmore revenge year, and I mean, this is going to be a tough team because they're going to put the points on the board. Yours does like mine does. So. But anyway, go Cox, sound a horn, everybody else we left out.
So. All right, why don't you come on by Howard's on Main. B-Rad getting set up for the happy hour is going to be going on here. We invite you to come by and see those good folks as well as all kinds of stuff going on. It's at Pi Day. We got, St. Patrick's Day activities going on today, tomorrow, and Saturday as well here at Howard's on Main, and they get started tonight, 6 o'clock on this very stage.
I need to ask Shy and B-Rad. Y'all got green beer on Saturday? Yes, sir. Look at there. And B-Rad, I tried your promotion. Pretty good. Yeah. So swing on in. You got Blackberry Crown and every other flavor to Crown makes.
All right. I want to thank Coach John Mark Scruggs for coming in from Emerald High School, talking with us as well. Always a pleasure to have him on. And, guys, great show. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Chris Cox, Coach Dan Spivey, I'm Tom Carroll. We're the Lakeland Sports Guys. Enjoy your weekend of basketball and baseball. We'll be back Monday right here at Howard's on Main.